Hei, sans, veisan! Hur är läget? It's Jörgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. This week, are you a funnel aficionado? Are you obsessed with nurturing? Does the word inbound, all caps, make you go all fuzzy inside? Then this is the episode for you. We're going to explore how a tech company with a very strong culture has taken their marketing methodology and applied it to recruiting. Let's hub that spot. Hannah Fleischman, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Who are you and what do you do?
Great question. So Hannah Fleischman, I am the inbound recruiting manager at HubSpot. So that's kind of one of those job titles you get a lot in tech, which is like, what the heck is that?
Yep.
So inbound recruiting is how we think about employer branding and candidate experience at HubSpot. So HubSpot's an inbound marketing company, mm-hmm. and we make software, and we have thousands of customers all over the world that use HubSpot to run their marketing. And that's with an inbound approach and with an inbound methodology. So we took the basis of that and applied it to recruiting. So I run a program which entails top of the funnel marketing, so employer brand content like blogs and social, to middle of the funnel content, which is candidate nurturing and emails and lead capture, things like that, but for talent. And then working closely with our recruiting team on kind of the bottom of the funnel part of that, which is that candidate experience piece and kind of more of the candidate facing materials when someone's in the pipeline. So long story short, I run the inbound recruiting program, so employment branding and marketing for all things jobs at HubSpot.
Fantastic. So inbound is really the key word here, which is also the name of your annual event, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So inbound is kind of our philosophy on everything. We always try to do everything in an inbound way, which really we just think of as being relevant, helpful, and human. So doing things in a way that's engaging, in a way that solves for your customer, user, or candidate. So putting them first is kind of how we just think about inbound generally.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I never actually thought about the terminology here, but when I was an agency staffing firm recruiter, it was very much outbound. It was real sales, you know, picking up the phone mm-hmm. and contacting people. But now with employer branding, social media, recruitment marketing, it's switched a little bit. So now it's definitely inbound.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So people, you know, like about 76% of candidates start their job search on Google by Googling you. So we, mm-hmm. you know, we know we need to be there and get ahead of that with content and be part of that experience as opposed to, you know, not accepting that things have kind of changed in that regard and people find jobs really differently today. So inbound is hopefully our answer to that.
Great. All right. So how would you describe the corporate culture now at HubSpot? Mm-hmm.
So culture at HubSpot is, it's probably our biggest focus and business priority. So I think a lot of companies, they think of culture as an HR priority or something that, you know, your recruiting team or your HR people need to think about. From very early on, company culture has just been a core focus at HubSpot. And it really shows. And I think it's both because we've been so proactive about creating a great company culture, but also because we, you know, as we're talking about hiring and talking about inbound recruiting, like we keep the bar really high and we really do want to hire the best people because we think that's what makes working at HubSpot so great. So I've been at HubSpot for about 5.5 years and it's just the culture is first and foremost the people. Everyone is smart. Everyone pushes one another. Everyone is incredibly helpful. The other piece is that we've really created this culture where you can do your best work. So we're very, very flexible with policies like unlimited vacation. You can work from home when you want to. We have people who do remote work, but also a lot of autonomy and transparency. So, you know, it's not, no one has an office, for example. Our executive team, they don't have offices. We all sit together in like an open space. It's very collaborative. If you have an idea, you can work on that idea. You kind of have the freedom and autonomy to move the needle on something if you're passionate about it.
Great. Okay. So it sounds like a fantastic place to work. And I just had a quick look at your Glassdoor ratings, which are extremely good. So what talent challenges could you possibly be faced with?
Yeah. So HubSpot is at this interesting size. We consider ourselves a scale-up. So we went from startup to scale-up in the past couple of years. So when I joined the company, we were about 300 employees. We have just about 2,000 now. So we've always been in growth mode, and that naturally just makes hiring hard, right? Like, great people are really hard to find. That challenge never changes. But our unique challenges right now are that we have some more unique obstacles in different parts of the world. So we have 7 offices globally, and yes, we have a great Glassdoor rating and we have a really strong brand presence where our headquarters is in Boston. But in some of our newer offices, like Tokyo, for example, HubSpot is not a familiar name at all. And it's not somewhere you would think to work or apply for a job. So brand awareness and newer markets for us is really, really a top challenge at the moment. We have our second biggest office is in Dublin, and we are trying to hire lots of multilingual sales talent. And doing that has been a real challenge, because breaking into markets like Sweden or the Netherlands, we have that same brand awareness problem. The other thing that's a challenge, kind of still globally, but is more senior talent. So because of the size we're at now, we're actually looking for more. We hire tons of recent grads and do tons of internships, but now we're opening more director level positions and senior manager positions. And HubSpot is typically thought of as a startup-y young type company. Mm-hmm. So that's another kind of brand awareness piece where we want to change the story a little bit so that it's, yes, we hire lots of people right out of school. You know, our average age is just probably in the late 20s, but like, we also have an amazing program for parents called Parent Spot. We have incredible benefits for families, making it a little bit clearer that HubSpot's also a great place no matter what stage in your life you're at.
Great. Okay. And what would you say is the best source of hire for HubSpot?
It varies a little bit globally, but the top two would be referrals from employees and then inbound applicants. So HubSpot gets thousands and thousands of inbound applications, and in some of our offices, that's the top source of hire. But I would say globally, it's referrals. So we're very lucky that employees are excited to work at HubSpot, and they tell all their friends about it, and they refer all their friends. And we really try to take that program seriously and really make it pretty systemic at HubSpot. So we have referral bonus program. We have resources for people to refer things. We have a program called Refer Spot. So we just make sure referrals are kind of always top of mind for new and people who have been there for a while.
And do you offer a bounty at all to your employees?
Yes. So we do. We offer $2,500 for a referral who gets hired, and you get that within, I think they have to be there about 3 months. And then if it's a engineer or a software developer, the amount's a bit more.
And okay, so the other channel was inbound applications. Mm-hmm. And would you say out of 100 applications, how many are relevant for you and how many actually go through to interviews to offers?
Good question. So yeah, there were about 100, and it really varies per role. So that'll be like for our software engineer positions, usually those inbound applications won't be as strong. So that's going to be a lot lower. But for some of our evergreen roles, like some of our support positions or our sales positions, that conversion rate could be fairly high. We might get a handful of hires from 100 applications.
Okay. Right. So I assume that these inbound applicants, as well as the referred candidate, they will be consuming your employer brand materials. So first of all, do you have a people promise? Do you have an EVP in place?
We do. So HubSpot's employee value proposition is our culture code. So the culture code is a slide deck that we published a couple years ago, and it was heavily inspired by Netflix's culture code.
Yep.
And our co-founder, he put it together with input and help and feedback from employees, and he's always iterating on it and changing it. But it has about 3 million views on SlideShare today. But that said, it is 128 slides. So it's a long deck. It's a long employee value proposition, but it can really be broken down into 4 things. And all of them have to do with the fact that you can grow, and that means personally and professionally at HubSpot. So we want to create an environment and a workplace where you can do your best work and grow your career quickly. And kind of those four pillars for us are autonomy. So it really is autonomous here. You have complete flexibility and ownership over your work. We just think that helps people grow faster. We don't believe in micromanaging. We don't believe in not letting people do work that excites them and that they're great at. So autonomy. The other is transparency. So we completely overshare on everything internally. So for example, our executive team more or less has access to all the same information that an intern would have access to. We have an internal wiki that we just publish everything on from, you know, what's the engineering team working on, why we might build this product instead of this product, to what the sales team is doing within the next 3 weeks to help with that, you know, lead conversion, things like that. We talk about everything on the wiki. We think if people have access to more information, then they're going to be more bought in on the mission and more tuned into the overall company goal, which is super important too as we get bigger. And then the third thing is mission. So I think we do a really good job internally, and we kind of always have, in that, like we mentioned inbound earlier, it's always to solve for the customer and solve for that end user. That's our mission. We want to make our customers' lives easier. And we do a pretty good job of making sure that's embedded and baked into everything that we do. So mission. And then the last one is HEART, which is actually an acronym. So we like to work with people, we say, who have heart, and that's humble, empathetic, adaptable, remarkable, and transparent.
Great. Okay. So just like Netflix, from when we describe the corporate culture, it sounds like you offer a lot of autonomy and people can, you know, run with their own projects and so on. But you, in return, you also expect high performance.
Absolutely. Yes. So that's the thing. We try to make it clear in our employer branding too, and in the messaging that we have, that, you know, this is an incredible place to work if you are ready to put in the work. HubSpot's a very fast-paced environment, and we're very metrics-driven. And that, with that kind of freedom and autonomy, and somewhere this fast where things change this quickly, we do expect a lot from people.
So would you say that your employer brand, the messaging you put out, would that allow some people to self-select out and go, no, this is not the place for me?
Definitely. And I think the culture code helps with that. So, you know, the majority of candidates we talk to, if you ask them, why do you want to work at HubSpot, or how did you first hear about HubSpot? It usually comes back to the culture code. They said, oh, I saw this deck, or someone sent me these slides and I just couldn't believe it. It sounded too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think other people probably see it and think, I don't think I want to be somewhere where, you know, I'm kind of left to my own devices at times and can go work on anything I want to at certain, like, I think some people self-select out of that.
Yeah, great. Okay. So you mentioned previously about the inbound marketing recruitment funnel, recruitment marketing funnel, I should say. Could you talk us through this? And essentially it's how you communicate and activate your employer brand, the whole journey. So let's take it from the top.
Yes, sure. So, the four stages we think about in inbound recruiting, just like in the inbound marketing methodology, are attract, convert, close, and delight. So attract at that top stage, that's kind of the first interaction or touch point that a candidate has with your employer brand. So for us, that's the culture code, for example. Mm-hmm. And then the things that my team works on and has strategies around would be our social media presence. So we've always been active on social about jobs and our employer brand, but it was about a month ago we launched our own Facebook and our own Instagram accounts just for recruiting and culture. So we have a Facebook page and Instagram account. The other piece would be our jobs website. So we put a lot of energy last year into redesigning our whole jobs website so that it was more candidate friendly. There was like more information on there than they could even possibly need to know about everything going on at HubSpot, because we want to be transparent, not just internally, but with them too. Our jobs website, we have a careers blog, so candidates find us through that as well. And then the other piece is Glassdoor. So in similar sites like Glassdoor, we use some others as well. And we put a lot of energy into our Glassdoor rating and reviews and responding to those reviews and trying to create a culture to remind people that Glassdoor is a helpful resource for us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, those are the big ones that we focus on at the top of the funnel. And then if someone lands on your jobs website, from there, what happens? As we move down the funnel, we do some candidate nurturing too, and that's before they apply. So the whole goal of inbound recruiting and my team's work all is what the candidate interfaces with before they submit a job application mostly. So that means, oh, you aren't ready to apply for a job yet. You have an option to sign up and subscribe for updates or learn more. And then we do some email nurturing where we send newsletters. We send them location-based information on if we have an event coming up or a recruiting event that they want to come to. We also do a blog newsletter, things like that, so that they're always in the loop. And then the other things we work on are kind of further down the funnel. I work really closely with our hiring managers and recruiters to write more candidate-friendly job descriptions. So we think that's a really important piece of content that's often overlooked. So we try to make those as inclusive and as helpful and as engaging as we can.
Great. What comes next?
So at this point, a candidate has applied and submitted a job application, mm-hmm. and we make sure everyone gets followed up with. So there's always going to be a automated email with more resources telling you what the expected wait time is to hear back from someone and what the next steps are. And then I've worked with our recruiters to create resources that they have so that when they do reach out to a candidate or they're talking to a candidate, they have information and links to more content as well to help them. We've also created resources to make the interview process a little bit less scary. So we do video interviews, for example. We have a great blog post about how to get ready for a video interview, what a great video interview looks like, things like that, so that marketing and content is happening even throughout the process.
And are we at the delight stage now?
We are, yes, we're at the delight stage. Yeah, so that's our close stage. And then the delight stage is really, and the delight stage I actually think can come kind of every step of the way. There are always little ways and moments of delightion, as we like to say, that you can add. But our goal isn't just to hire somebody and have them be an employee. We want them to one day, we know people aren't going to work at HubSpot for their whole lives. And I think we try to create an amazing culture so that when you do leave one day, you're part of our alumni community, that you are a promoter of HubSpot in terms of referring your friends to work there, saying that you had a great time working there. And we do that by actually having an active alumni program. So we invest there, we do events with our alumni, things like that. But in terms of like delight moments too, we do things like with offer letters, we'll make them crossword puzzles, for example, to just make things a little bit more interesting for some of our more senior candidates.
Great. Okay. And just a question on the candidate nurturing. So mm-hmm. this is like a feature that a lot of these new wave ATS/CRM systems will offer as well. So staying in touch with passive talent or perhaps people who have been rejected and keeping them warm for in mm-hmm. case there is another role coming up next year. I question whether if you apply for a job somewhere, you get rejected, do you still then want to be on that newsletter? Do you still want to be invited to careers fairs, or would you rather just forget about it? That's question number one. Number two is the person that didn't get the job, they probably got a job somewhere else. So would they mm-hmm. then still have an interest over time in staying in touch for job purposes?
Yeah, good question. So to the first part, there are absolutely going to be candidates who didn't get an offer and they are not happy about it, obviously. So they might decide to unsubscribe from all of our future content or updates. But for the most part, I think we try to keep our newsletter and middle of the funnel content less about HubSpot and less about jobs and a little bit more about career growth advice. So that careers blog that I mentioned, that's not really content about how to work at HubSpot. It's how to be really good job now. So we write content about how to hit your sales goals if you're a salesperson, about how to master a technical interview if you're going to interview somewhere and have to do a coding question. So we try to write more helpful content that's just generally helpful. People will unsubscribe. You can opt out of those things. We make it really easy to unsubscribe. But I think people would still have value and interest in staying in touch with the content.
And so as a percentage, roughly, how many people choose to stay on and get these updates?
Oh, that I don't know. So we do most of our nurturing happens before the application stage. So we actually don't put tons of energy into proactively re-engaging with people who are already in our ATS or in our CRM system and didn't get a job. So we won't actively re-engage with them. We sign people up before they apply to nurture them at that point.
Okay. And I guess another side to this is that these people are also potential customers or potential advocates of the software. So you want to deliver definitely a good candidate experience there so that you hopefully
exactly
buy some product one day. Okay, right. So if we look at specific initiatives, specific campaigns and so on, is there anything in particular you're proud of you'd like to mention to our listeners?
Yeah, I think I mentioned our jobs website, and we iterate on it and work on it and publish new content on it a lot. Excuse me. That's something we're really proud of. I think we still have people reaching out a lot from marketing companies and other companies as they're redesigning their own jobs websites, asking, you know, how do we get started? What was the process like for that? And I really think that's because we try to think of what the candidate is thinking or what a website visitor is thinking every step of the way and solve for that. And we really doubled down on engaging content. So we created about 20 new videos just for our jobs website, ranging from fun GoPro videos from every global office to more talking head type videos about day in the life, things like that. We tried to really think like a marketer about it and do something a little bit more engaging than just, hey, you should work here, here's a job description. So we're really proud of that.
And I'd like to probe a little bit more about these videos, because I just spoke to someone else regarding videos in a previous interview. And would you, do you plow a lot of production budgets into these videos? Or you mentioned GoPro, do you allow employees to shoot their own videos on iPhones? What's your take on it?
Yeah, so for the website specifically, we did, we put some budget and some production into some of the videos with our exec team and making those really, so we put some production value into those, but now we're doubling down more on Facebook Lives. So we do a ton of Facebook Lives where employees can just hold their phones. And we actually think the quality is pretty good and the engagement's pretty good on those. So we're doing a lot more of the kind of lower budget and lower production ones now.
Yeah. Okay, great. Now, for our employer brand managers who are listening to this podcast, do you have any top tips for them to go away on and action on?
My number one tip would be to remember that your employer brand should be thought of as a team sport internally. So I think employees create the best employer brand content naturally. So making sure that they're bought in, but also excited about creating content is key. So being proactive about that and not just expecting people to share content because it exists or write something because you ask them to, I think it's really important to have a program in place for how people can work with you to create that employer brand content and to make it rewarding. So to reward those people that do it and to reward those brand ambassadors. The first thing I would say is, you know, make it a team sport. The other thing I would say is think about your metrics sooner than later. I actually think that's a mistake we probably made at HubSpot. We doubled down really much really on our top of the funnel awareness and going after, you know, big recruiting events that we could host and things that kind of just had more buzz and appeal and would get us new eyeballs on HubSpot. But employer brand is very hard to measure. Like when you get down to it, if you're looking at how many hires did I get from this initiative, that might be really hard depending on the systems, the technologies that you use. I think it's important from the get-go to be really intentional about the metrics you know you can move and hit. Maybe that's visits to your jobs website. Maybe that's, you know, number of followers on your Facebook page for recruiting, something like that. But I think it's important to think about the metrics ahead of time and see which ones you can actually achieve.
Great. Okay. And so that nicely segues into my next question, which is the million-dollar question about the ROI of an employer brand. So it is tough to measure, but what metrics do you guys use at HubSpot?
We have a couple different metrics in place that we measure, but I'll be honest, it took us hard to get to them. So right now we focus on month over month increase in views to the jobs website, inbound applications month over month, and then we have metrics for each of our social channels. So the Facebook and the Instagram, that growth there. And then we look at metrics on a per campaign basis. So Those are the four at the top of the funnel that we're always tracking. And then in a way, actually, our Glassdoor rating for us is a metric. We want to see that stay the same, if not increase. And that's a little bit harder to measure on a timely basis, but it is something we look at and try to move the needle on. But the per campaign basis metrics, so that would be like, we do a lot of retargeting campaigns or Facebook ad campaigns. So we measure those, but that's more tied into the jobs website traffic that we then get as a source and things like that. One thing that we decided not to try to measure yet is the inbound recruiting to hires conversion. Like, I think we thought we were going to have this source of hire be employer brand in an ideal world. And I think one day we will. But there are system challenges and there are things you need to have in place to really be able to report on that well at that level and down to that part of the funnel. So we don't measure on full funnel yet, but we measure everything going on at the top of the funnel and then how many inbound applications we get as a result.
Great. It just struck me now, actually. Do you think HubSpot will ever launch a recruitment marketing product?
Good question. I hope so. I can't say for sure, to be honest, but I know it's something that more and more of our customers and partners would love. So the other piece is our CRM is free. So I encourage people who use HubSpot to use that as an ATS, actually, because then you can tie your activity together pretty nicely for free if you use HubSpot.
Yeah, and we use the HubSpot CRM here at LinkHumans, actually, and it's really good.
Yay, thank you.
Right, so if we look beyond HubSpot, what other companies are there in terms of employer brand?
So I mentioned Netflix before. We really do think they're great. If you are our co-founder, Dharmesh Shah, who wrote the culture code, our culture code, he makes the joke that if you have time to read two culture codes, read the Netflix one first and then read it again. Because it really is that good. And it really inspired ours and where we went with it. So we look up to Netflix a lot. Personally, I look up to Spotify a lot. I think they have a really strong employer brand. I look at their jobs website. I look at their social content when we're trying to get new ideas for things. I think they do a really great job. And then some other people that we admire are actually, so some of our partners, so HubSpot resellers in Europe are actually pretty ahead of the curve with inbound recruiting. So I talk to them pretty regularly, some of our agencies, because they're already using HubSpot and other tools to do inbound recruiting, and they're pretty advanced with it. So they definitely keep us on our toes and keep us inspired too.
Yeah, can you drop any names of?
So Talent Clue is a really cool agency. I think they might be based in Spain. I'm not sure, but they're doing some pretty cool stuff.
Talent Clue, great. Okay, so final question: what's up next for employer branding at HubSpot, and where do you think employer branding is heading in general?
So for HubSpot, we're really going to, over the next year, you're going to see a lot more from us on the video front. So HubSpot as a company generally, and our marketing strategy for the business too, we're just doing more and more video. Video is easier to produce now and people are engaging with it, and we're finding it's actually a really great conversion tool for marketing. So in our employer brand, we're going to do much, much more video. And then we're going to double down on some of our global events, actually. So some of those market challenges I was talking about before, we're going to start trying to do a lot more kind of targeted great event experiences around the world. So we're going to do a little bit more of that. And then the third piece for us is more thoughtful diversity and inclusion employment branding. So we have a pretty great internal program for diversity and inclusion. We have employee resource groups like our LGBTQ Alliance and the Women at HubSpot group. I think we're doing some really cool things internally. You know, admittedly, like a lot of companies, you know, we don't have the diversity data that we wish we did, and we're trying to get better at it. But truthfully, I don't think we do a great job right now of sharing what we do externally. So that's something that we'll focus on a lot. And then for employer brand in general, I actually think it's such an exciting time. I feel like every day there is a new software or a new tool that's coming out specifically just to make the hiring process better or to make your employer brand better. I think there's going to be a lot more companies, tools, products coming out just thinking about this and bringing new ideas to the table. So I actually think my hope is the inbound recruiting phrase and expression will be something within a year that people are doing and talking about and having conversations about. I think right now it's still a little bit in the early innings, and people think of employer branding as the answer to their challenges. And I think it's part of it, but I think you need to go a step further and start taking more of a funnel approach and kind of those stages of the process that we talked about and thinking about it every step of the way.
Very interesting. Great. Okay. And so where can our listeners learn more about HubSpot's employer brand and inbound recruitment efforts? And also, where can they connect with yourself?
Yes. So if you go to hubspot.com/inbound-recruiting, it's a great place to just check out how we think about inbound recruiting. And then I am on LinkedIn as Hannah Fleischman. I post pretty frequently a lot of employer brand updates, not surprisingly. And then feel free to email me. I'm just hannah@hubspot.com.
Great. Anna, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. This was great.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Hannah and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. I made it so easy for you. Right, as you may know, this segment of the show goes a bit like this. You hopefully find a podcast of value, and you shared it on your social networks, perhaps even on the Twitters. I pick this up and give you a big shout going out. And this week's shout goes out to Grace Chiu. I think it's Chiu, Grace Chiu, out of San Francisco. Grace works with our friends at Proactive Talent Strategies, and she's a real ambassador of this podcast and of employer branding in general. And she also does volunteering with our friends at HROS. You'll find her across social media and on Twitter. Her handle is Grace M. Chiu. So thank you very much for that, Grace, and if you share this podcast, it could be you getting this shout out next time. Now, in other news, as you may know, about 8 years ago, I started a blog called Undercover Recruiter. Yep, and this has now grown into a global resource on modern talent acquisition and recruiting. And the big news this week is that we're launching a job board entirely focused on recruiting, talent acquisition, and HR roles across the world. For a limited period, we're offering a free posting to you, our dear listener. You'll get exposure to the site's 500,000 monthly readers, 70,000 email subscribers, and 250,000 social media followers. So a pretty good deal, I would say. So keep an eye out for this on the Undercover Recruiter social feeds, the weekly newsletter, or ping me an email and I can get things rolling for you with the team. And yeah, the way to email me is to type in Jorgen, J-O-R-G-E-N, at linkhumans.com. Feel free to extend any questions you might have around employer brand or any of the consulting work I do for companies. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in and catch you next time. Hey, doll.
All right, so what is a breakfast food that can fly?
No idea.
A plain bagel.